Hello, and welcome to The Doctor Is In, the podcast about all things public health. Today, we're going to delve into the many aspects of public health in what we're calling Public Health 101. It is no surprise that the name public health conjures up images of health inspectors investigating restaurants or perhaps a clinic for mothers and babies. While both of those are accurate, there is much more to public health than meets the eye. In fact, it is often said that when public health is working, it is invisible. I liken this to the operation of Disney World. Above ground, there is the Magic Kingdom, the world of Epcot, food, rides, fireworks, characters. But below ground, there is an army of professionals making sure that the park is safe and healthy for visitors and workers. Public health is the underground army for communities. So what is public health? According to the CDC Foundation, public health is the science of protecting and improving the health of people and their communities. This work is achieved by promoting healthy lifestyles, researching disease and injury prevention, and detecting, preventing, and responding to infectious diseases. Who are the professionals, and what do they do to ensure the health of Howard County? Today, we're in for a treat. We're going to talk to a few of the people in the Howard County Health Department who work to promote, protect, and preserve the health of those in our community. Our guests today work in the areas of environmental health, emergency preparedness, and communicable disease. Please welcome Mike Davis, Giselle Bonilla, and Andrea Reid to the show. Hello, Mike, and thank you for being on The Doctor Is In. You're the Assistant Bureau Director for the Bureau of Environmental Health. Tell us a little bit about what you do.
Well, the Bureau of Environmental Health, it consists of three different programs. We have our well and septic program, whose primary goal is the protection of the groundwaters of Howard County. We deal with inspecting well installations. We deal with inspecting on-site sewage disposal systems, otherwise known as septic systems, and providing guidance on how to maintain septic systems. That program also deals with land development, including subdivisions, development of undeveloped lots, whether it be residential or commercial properties. We also have the food protection program, which is probably what most people are familiar with, that deal with food service facility inspections. So, for example, that's going to be restaurant inspections, grocery stores, public schools, private schools, gas stations, any facility that provides food. We also deal with cases where there's a foodborne outbreak. So if you have eaten at a facility and there is a result of eating food that has not properly been handled, we are directly involved in the investigation of that. Our third program is the community hygiene program, and that's kind of the catch-all for the rest of the things that deal with environmental health. So that program deals with nuisance complaints, everything from the improper disposal of trash, sewage overflows, whether it be a public sewer system, a private septic system, deals with rabies, contact with animals, and any other type of nuisance complaint that may occur.
Wow, that's a lot. As you know, I live in Howard County. I'm a homeowner, and these things are important to me living here and also as the local health officer. But what are some of the common health, environmental health issues that your bureau is most focused on managing?
Well, right now, one of our biggest projects, well, we've got two big projects, one that's been going on for decades. The one that's been going on for decades is mapping of all the wells within Howard County. So we've got GPS units that we go out to properties and actually locate the wells. That's going to allow us to track where we do see problems with groundwater. It's going to allow us to, you know, really get a handle on what areas are being affected. Now, fortunately, we haven't had too many issues with that, but still having that data, should we find issues, is going to be very helpful. The other issue, and this is an I wouldn't say a relatively new issue, but it's something that's becoming more and more of an issue. The more we look, the more we find that there's salt contamination in groundwater as a result of road salting. So we've actively started doing a lot more testing for chlorides, sodium, and TDS, total dissolved solids.
Yeah, I mean, Howard, as I said, I live in Howard County. I've lived here for almost 30 years, and certainly over those 30 years have seen how Howard County has grown. And I understand that development and sort of the change from a predominantly rural, agricultural county to a more suburban and even urban county has impacted environmental aspects, which include anything from the salt intrusion to sewer and septic, and trying to manage that seems like a very complex problem. I imagine that you work closely with other county agencies and the contractors and developers.
Absolutely. And not only do we work with local departments, whether it be the Department of Inspections, Licenses and Permits, whether it be Department of Utilities. We also work closely with the Maryland Department of the Environment. They play a close role in some of the larger subdivisions and managing and trying to figure out how is this development going to affect groundwater.
So a common question that frequently comes up is, how do I find out if a food establishment is properly licensed? And if something happens after I eat that's maybe not so pleasant, what do I do about it?
Well, it's very easy to make sure that a food service facility is properly licensed because they're required to have their license posted in a conspicuous spot within the restaurant. So it's basically a yellow placard that they should have on the wall of the restaurant. It'll have the name of the establishment and it'll have an expiration date on it. And that permit is good for a year. So it's very easy. Simply look for that placard and you'll know that it's a properly licensed facility. Now, if you do eat at a facility and have any complaint, whether it be illness related or whether it be a food handling concern, it's very important that you report that to the health department. And there's a couple ways you can do that. We do have on our website an Ask Health section where you can actually make a complaint. We prefer that you call us during normal business hours between 8 and 5 p.m. and call us so that we can ask more specific questions and gather information. So the number to report to would be 410-313-1772. And we do strongly suggest that you call and not report through Ask Health.
I've also noticed that over the past couple of years, there's been a growth of food trucks, a variety of different foods. Are they licensed, or how do I know if, you know, their food is being properly prepared?
It's basically the same as what we call in the food program a brick and mortar restaurant, so a permanent facility. They require the same license for a mobile unit as they would for a brick and mortar, a permanent restaurant.
If someone out there is listening and saying, wow, what you just told me excites me and I might like a career in environmental health and public health, what would you advise?
I would advise it's a great career and you can certainly call the health department or you can look online and we're licensed as environmental health specialists. So there's a board that licenses us for this profession. So you can reach out to the board or you could certainly reach out to the health department and we can certainly guide you through the process on how to start a career in environmental health.
Well, thank you, Mike. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk to Emergency Preparedness Director Giselle Bonilla.
If you're struggling to pay the mortgage, Making Home Affordable is a free government resource that can make it easier. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
We're back. Thank you for listening to The Doctor Is In. Today we are talking about Public Health 101. Next, we're going to talk to Giselle Bonilla. Giselle, you're known as a FEP, a public health emergency planner. Can you tell us more about that?
Okay, the Public Health Emergency Preparedness Program, the main goal is to prepare the county and its healthcare system to respond to natural and man-made public health emergencies. These emergencies include severe weather conditions, bioterrorism, and disease outbreaks, and other natural emergencies or disasters. So our program continuously develops an exercise plan in cooperation with other counties, state and federal agencies to reduce the effect or response to and recover from public health emergencies. So we participate in multidisciplinary meetings with government agencies, nonprofit organizations, and private sector to coordinate emergency preparedness and response activities. Also, we develop plans and agreements for collaboration with other entities. So we develop emergency preparedness plans applicable to multiple emergencies and conduct drills and exercises to test our plans. We participate in outreach events to educate the community on self-preparedness and provide information on resources available during emergencies.
We, unfortunately, in Howard County over the past few years had some very real-life emergencies, from the floods in Ellicott City to extremely cold weather. Can you talk about how we engage the community and prepare them for such emergencies?
So we do a lot of outreach. So we go to outreach events, we go to health fairs. So we communicate with the public and try to train the public on what we do, why it's important to self-prepare, to be ready for an emergency, and also where they can find information. We encourage people to go to our website to seek for information. So we have multiple materials, educational materials on how to prepare, self-prepare, family preparedness, school preparedness, also how to respond to an emergency, and community resources that will be useful during emergencies. Also, the health department has in the website other resources, so we encourage the public to go to seek information at the state level as well. So Maryland Department of Health has information of activities at the state level as well as we have for activities in the community level or local level. So, and also there is more information at the state level on ready.gov. So we always provide the information that will be useful for the community at the local level, at the state level, and at the federal level. So because we all work together, so there is no, we don't work silos, so we work together. As I mentioned before, we participate in different meetings and collaboration at the state level and at the regional level.
So it is really important for all of us to have individual and family plans for the variety of different emergencies that may arise and understand where we can look for additional resources and know when assistance may be coming. So thank you for that. At the health department, I know that we exercise and train so that when an emergency arises, we're ready to respond to that particular situation. And we use some regular events to practice what we're going to do, like at the 50 Plus Expo, where we provide free immunizations. Can you describe how we use that particular event to train our staff and use volunteers so we're equipped to respond to perhaps a different infectious disease?
Yes, so basically we try to plan for multiple hazards. So our plans are applicable to different hazards, which include flu outbreaks. So we are required to plan for bioterrorism events such as anthrax or for flu outbreaks. So in the case of flu outbreaks, so we utilize our flu clinics, especially the 50 Plus Expo, to exercise our capabilities to be able to immunize or to cover the entire population during an outbreak or a big public health event. So we use our clinics to compute the time that we utilize in certain period of time to immunize or to provide flu vaccines to certain number of people. So we transfer that information to a big public health event. That's the way so we can test our capability to be able to cover the entire populations. We test the time, we train the staff in order to make sure they follow all the steps as they will do it in a real emergency event. And also we evaluate our exercise because we use that as an exercise. We make evaluations and then at the end of the event, we compile all those evaluations and then so produce after action reports to make sure that we are doing right and if we have anything to improve, so we incorporate improvement actions. So that's basically what we do.
We use something called the Medical Reserve Corps program. Can you tell the audience how they can volunteer and find out more about our Medical Reserve Corps?
Yes, Medical Reserve Corps is a network of medical and non-medical volunteers. So we work, this is basically a network from the, it's a national network. So we work in coordination with the state and the federal level. So we house the Medical Reserve Corps program at the Howard County Health Department. So volunteers are very useful during health education events, health screenings, also providing services to at-risk population during communicable disease outbreak response, during training and exercises. So prospective volunteers or community members can join the Medical Reserve Corps, contacting the health department. They can call to the main number and ask for the Medical Reserve Corps coordinator. We have a coordinator on site that will handle all your questions and also help you with your with the registration process. Community members can go online as well to check our website, and there is in the emergency preparedness section a link that will take you directly to Maryland Response. Maryland Response is the name of the Medical Reserve Corps program in Maryland. So we are the local unit for Maryland Response.
So they should call the health department or go to our website.
Exactly.
Thank you. Giselle, thanks so much. We often don't think of health and emergency preparedness together, but clearly it is one of the ways we are protecting the health of our community. We're going to take one more quick break, and when we return, we'll talk about communicable diseases with Andrea Reid. We'll be right back.
When is the best time to talk to your family about staying in touch during a disaster? Amid the chaos? Or is the best time perhaps today? Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hello again, and thank you for coming back to The Doctor Is In. Our next guest is our Assistant Director of Nursing and the Director of Communicable Disease. Welcome Andrea Reid to the show. Andrea, can you describe a little bit about the Communicable Disease Program at the Health Department?
The Communicable Disease Program, also called infectious disease, is for surveillance, prevention, and treatment of infectious disease. And at the Health Department, we do this through clinics. We have sexually transmitted disease clinics, HIV testing clinics, immunization and tuberculosis clinics. And we also do this through our surveillance unit, which there's a long list of reportable diseases that are of public health concern that all doctors, labs, hospitals, any kind of health provider knows that these are reportable diseases and they have to let us know about the diseases. We handle over 2,000 of these notifications yearly.
What are some examples of outbreaks that your program has responded to, and what was the health department's role during that situation?
Well, we always see a lot of foodborne outbreaks in the warmer months. And what it involves is us talking to each person to kind of find out the situation, what, you know, what they ate, what their symptoms were. Sometimes it involves getting a list of everyone that was there. We work closely with Mike's program to inspect anything that was eaten that may have caused problems. We also work closely with residential homes, nursing homes, or the schools for respiratory outbreaks that might be reported to us. We give them recommendations for isolation of sick children or recommendations for cleaning to prevent the spread to other areas. And also more large-scale outbreaks, Ebola, Zika, influenza. We're always working with state, but also in emergency preparedness. And we just want to gather information, screen those possibly infected, provide vaccines if needed and educate the public.
You mentioned in the beginning that doctors and providers are required to report certain diseases and conditions to the health department. Can you describe the surveillance or the tracking and management of these reportable diseases to the audience?
Sure. Basically, every report is entered into a database, and we work closely with the Maryland Department of Health. Some things are more of a concern, so there's a priority, but everything gets entered into a database, and that's countrywide. It's actually something also monitored by the CDC. So in this way, we're classifying diseases. We're at the health department level, we're doing the kind of screening out of what is a case, what isn't a case. And in this way, everything gets reported upwards, and then they can kind of start to see a trend in certain areas of what's going on and something that may be of concern and hopefully stay ahead of that. That would be for some of these foodborne outbreaks you've heard about with the romaine lettuce most recently, that kind of thing.
We also know for the past few years that we've been tracking along with the state and nationally increases in the number of sexually transmitted infections, especially among our youth. Can you describe a recent program that we implemented in light of these concerning trends?
Yes, definitely. That information became apparent, and then once we started to go into the data, we could see the age groups that were affected and, you know, look back over years of data to see that this was just a big concern nationwide. So locally in Howard County, working with the Child Health Program and our they're not new programs, but we have school-based wellness centers now. We work closely with the school system, the state of Maryland, Department of Health, to offer STI testing through mailing kits through the school-based wellness centers at the high schools. We also have recently started providing condoms in the schools to prevent STIs. They're available in all the health rooms. So in that way, hopefully we'll begin to see a trend of decreased STIs in that age group. And we also are just trying to provide lots in information and education and data to providers so that they can see the whole picture of what's going on and the ages affected.
A lot of what the health department does, which the three of you have described, is education and outreach to our community. What are some tips that you can provide to our community audience to prevent the spread of disease and protect their family from communicable or infectious diseases?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think the big things are just keeping yourself educated, you know, looking at the CDC website, our local website to see what's happening. Pay attention to the news outlets, the newspapers, read articles. I think you mentioned preparedness, kind of going on the websites Giselle mentioned to see what you need to have in place for an emergency. Get everyone in the family and yourself vaccinated for what is due, what you're due to be vaccinated for. And also, if you can, get in to see your primary care physician and work on getting insurance. You know, we do that at the health department too. We have insurance enrollment where they can see what insurance would be available to you and get information on that. And that's prevention that really can put you in the best place to be ready for anything that comes up of a health or an emergency nature.
Yeah, the health department, it's a team effort to ensure the health of our community. And certainly the individual and the residents and those that visit and work in Howard County are part of that team to ensure our health and wellness. We talked about what to do if I'm eating out in a restaurant and I may get ill and who I should report that to and if I want to volunteer in the Medical Reserve Corps, who I should call or where I can call. If I'm concerned about a possible outbreak of an infectious disease, what are the steps I should do to notify the health department?
the easiest thing to do is just call the health department. We always have people on the phones who are taking those types of calls, reporting to us directly, because there's going to be more information we need always to figure out what's really going on, which we really want to do. So we want to talk, if possible, we'd like to talk to you directly.
Andrea, you're a nurse, and we certainly know that nurses play a huge role in public health, both historically and currently. If there are people out there interested in public health nursing, how would you advise them?
I have found this to be a great career. I did start out nursing in hospital nursing, which I think was a valuable experience, but I always felt that public health calling. And it has been, it's a very interesting, varied, there's a lot of different things you can do from policy writing to clinical services. You get to see this data that's coming in and get to know that you're making a difference in your work as a nurse. You know, go to school, go to community college, wherever you can. And we have a lot of nurses that have started out as nurses aides and then LPNs. They've kind of worked their way, you know, if you can't just go get your bachelor's for an RN, just, you know, work towards it. It's something you can do.
Yeah, the team at the health department doesn't just include emergency preparedness specialists and environmental health specialists and nurses, but administrative specialists and doctors and community health workers and program coordinators and epidemiologists. And it is, I think, I'm a little biased, but a fabulous career, never boring, and something with lots of growth potential as well. And becoming more complex, as we learned just from the growth of our county, emerging infectious diseases, needing to be prepared for all-hazard approach, not just one thing. Ensuring the health and safety of Howard County takes a team approach. We were talking a little bit about that. Let's talk a little bit more among our panelists about specifically how we all work together in the health department. I'm going to open it up to the panelists.
Well, yeah, I think it's very important that we work together as a team. I know I work closely with emergency preparedness as well as with communicable disease. For example, during the Ellicott City flood, the Bureau of Environmental Health was heavily involved in being downtown, dealing with some of the health concerns regarding mold, regarding restaurant remediation, rebuilding, how to do that. We were also directly involved with emergency preparedness. They were represented with the County Emergency Operations Center. So our feet on the field in Ellicott City was relayed to the emergency preparedness, who would then relay that to the County Emergency Operations Center. Another example would be where we work closely with communicable disease regarding rabies, animal contact. So with Andrea's program, it's very time sensitive. When we get an unvaccinated animal that has a contact, that we communicate that to Andrea, and then her group takes over and does their part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we actually, there's nurses on after, it happens during the day, the calls about rabies, and but also after hours and on weekends. And we are assessing each situation quickly to make to advise whether they should go to the hospital and start post-exposure vaccines, or maybe, you know, we're going to wait and see if we have the animal, that kind of thing. So we're assessing the situation. Yeah, and for the floods, we definitely were getting a lot of calls from the public concerned about, you know, the state being in the standing water, tetanus vaccines, all sorts of things. And it actually also turned into us being on site when they had people going in to clean up. It was hot, really hot days, and we were there on site to work with the volunteers that were helping to do the cleanup.
I hope today you've learned a little bit about public health and what goes on at Howard County Health Department. Thanks to our guests, Mike Davis, Giselle Bonilla, and Andrea Reid. Thank you, listeners, for joining us again. and we hope you'll join us the next time The Doctor Is In.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.